This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
I'm going to share with you an idea today about Jonah that I think can actually impact somebody's life today in a powerful way. And I'm going to start the message by talking to you about this. The story of Jonah is the most made fun of story in the Bible. I talked about that last week. More mockery about the book of Jonah and the story of the whale, and people laugh at it. And you don't believe that stuff, do you? And even Bible scholars will say, well, the story of Jonah really is a parable or it's an allegory. I'm not totally sure the difference between an allegory and a parable. I even did some research on it this week. There's not much difference. But it's symbolic, and we're supposed to appreciate this story of Jonah and the big fish, and Jonah being told by God to go to Nineveh, but he refuses. He gets on a ship to a place called Tarshish in Spain, 2,500 miles away. He's running from God, literally running from the Lord in disobedience. And you know the rest of the story. He's thrown overboard by the crew. We'll read that today. And swallowed by a great fish. And people say, well, that's just a story for kids. And then the thought occurred to me this week, what if it's true? What if God did tell Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh? And Jonah really did say, ain't no way. And he didn't go because he was afraid. He didn't go because he hated the people of Assyria. Did you know they were so violent? I read this week. I couldn't even tell you some of the details last week about how brutally vicious the people of Assyria were. But I can share this with you, just a generic detail. They were so violent that there is historical record that when they would be coming toward a town or a city with their massive army, they were like locusts in the way they destroyed a town, that the people in some of the small towns would just commit suicide. It's a lot simpler. We'll just kill ourselves rather than give them the pleasure of killing us. And whole towns would commit mass suicide because of the viciousness of the people of Nineveh. And that's the town that Jonah was told to go preach repentance to. And Jonah said, there's no way, because he didn't want them to be forgiven. We'll read later on in the book that he knew God was a God of forgiveness and compassion, and if they would repent, God would not destroy their city. And Jonah was ticked. He was mad because he was angry. He's called the angry prophet because of that. What I'm going to do is share a lesson with you, one lesson that can be life-changing today, and I really mean that. I'm not being melodramatic or over the top. I really believe this lesson can be powerful. Let's continue right where we left off. It's in Jonah, the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots, which is a form of witchcraft, divination, to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm.
Now then, today, part two of the second message in the Jonah sermon series. The series is called When God Pursues. This message is called When God Intervenes, from the first chapter, verses 4 through 17. God bless you as we continue reading the text and go get right into the message.
This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. Notice their first response was not to kill him. They said, "Well, let's try rowing back first," but they could not. "For the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased.'" And listen to verse 15. "Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm." Can you imagine the drama of that moment? They threw him overboard, and the sea grew calm. "At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. All I'm going to do today is point out some things out of this passage and quote a parallel passage in the New Testament to share this message with you. When you look at what happened to Jonah, the normal response from you and from me is to say this: God was really ticked with Jonah. God was really mad at him, and God was punishing him by having him thrown overboard into the water. And God was really mad at him when he had this big fish swallow him. You know what I'm going to say that's going to shock some of you? This was an act of compassion. This was an act of mercy from a merciful God. God was sparing him from death. And God was preparing him for his future ministry in the city of Nineveh. And what you and I would call an act of punishment, I want to suggest to you today, was God sparing him. Here's the thought that's going to bless you today. I really believe somebody's going to go home and say, "That's what I needed today." There's something going on perhaps in your life the last year, the last 6 months, the last week. Maybe something that's happened years ago and you said, "God was punishing me. I know he was." And God may be whispering in your ear, "No, I wasn't. I was sparing you from something worse. I was preserving you till now, and I was protecting you in ways that you'll never know until eternity." That's what I want you to go home with today. Look at verse 4 as we begin. "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." God sent a great wind. God intervenes. I want to ask you a question, personal question perhaps. What has the Lord sent in your life that, if truth be known, you kind of have this gut feeling that God sent that situation into your life for a reason? God sent that set of circumstances in your life, and maybe they were negative in your perception, but God sent something into your life for a reason. I believe that God sends people into our lives. I really believe that. You know, God can bring people into your life to speak truth to your life. And one of the best prayers I think a parent can pray for a son or daughter is, "God, would you bring the right people into my son's life to speak truth into his life?" You know, God can bring people into your life to speak truth to your life. And one of the best prayers I think a parent can pray for a son or daughter is, "God, would you bring the right people into my son's life to speak truth into his life?" God, you know, our daughter's in college, and she's exposed to a lot of junk and a lot of stuff. Would you bring somebody into her life to speak truth, God's truth, into her life? Why? You're not there. You're not with you, but God can send somebody, and you can pray for a husband that way. You can pray for a wife. God, bring people into his life. Bring people into her life. Send the right people to speak truth into their life. God does intervene. Now, here's the negative part of this story. This is going to speak to somebody as well. Look at verse 7. "Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Jump to verse 12. He tells them later, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. What's the lesson here? There are things that you and I do that cause consequences in other people's lives. For somebody today, that's the most important lesson you're going to go home with today. That what I do not only impacts other lives, but sometimes there's consequences. Listen carefully. This is not a play on words. There are consequences to the consequences. That you start some things in motion and there are consequences to what you do or what I do, and then there are the consequences of the consequences. You ever thought about that? That what you started not only impacts you, but it impacts other lives. If you've been listening to the Mark series on the radio the last few weeks, I told you in that series years ago that the only thing I remember from high school economics was one quote. I mean, I can't tell you any economic theory. I can't explain to you anything about how, you know, economics works per se intellectually. But there was one sentence, one paragraph I remember, still remember it. I don't know why to this day. Henry Hazlitt was the economic advisor to the Wall Street Journal many years ago. And I have never forgotten what he said, maybe because it spoke to my life. It said this. He said this. The art of economics consists in looking not merely at the immediate, but at the longer effects of any act or policy. Listen to that again. The art of economics consists in looking not merely at the immediate, but at the long-range effects of any act or policy. What Henry Hazlitt was saying, that economically as a country, we need to know that anything we do as a country, and it applies to today in 2014, whether we admit it or not, we are setting things in motion that are going to impact future generations. Does that ring any bells with what's going on today in our country? And you can extrapolate anything you want out of that. We are setting things in motion that are going to impact future generations. What if you believe that personally? What if you really believe that what I do now impacts my marriage in the future? What if you really believe that what I'm doing now and the choices I make will impact my kids, will impact their lives and their future? It can change the way you live because you have the wisdom. I think it takes the wisdom of God to say to oneself, this impacts future generations.
Well, would it make any difference in your life or my life if we really believe that? This message from Jonah, the first chapter, will continue tomorrow. Remember, the series is called When God Pursues. The message title is When God Intervenes. He wants to intervene in your life and my life in ways that you'd never imagine. Our website is crosshope.org.
What if you really believe that what I do now impacts my marriage in the future? What if you really believe that what I'm doing now and the choices I make will impact my kids, will impact their lives and their future? It can change the way you live because you have the wisdom. I think it takes the wisdom of God to say to oneself, this impacts future generations. Kevin is a guy, a young man, I don't know his last name, from Florida. He said, there are things everyone has done sometime in their life that they're not proud of, he says. They're ashamed of. What follows that is that there's a series and set of consequences to follow. We can choose to do what we please, but we don't choose the consequences. That's interesting. We can choose to do whatever we want, and he's right, we have the freedom to choose, but he said we can't choose the consequences. He says, take last weekend for instance. Last weekend I chose to do something that I wasn't smart about in my judgment. At that time, I really didn't care about the consequences of what I was doing. Now I look back at that day and I really wish I could have thought of what was going to happen because of my choices just last week. And then he goes on to pose the question, what would happen with all of us if we started living in anticipation of what would happen if we make this choice? You know, some of you are living with consequences of forgiven sin. Do you know what I mean by that? All of us are. God forgives us, but we still have to live with the consequences of forgiven sin. The illustration I use, you've heard me use it, some of you have before. In high school, a young man was either on drugs that I knew, alcohol, inebriated, he was drunk, he was legally drunk or high, whatever the case may be, driving a car full of guys There's an accident because he was driving under the influence. And one of the young men lost a leg. There's nothing that that young man, or he's now in his 50s or 60s, he said, there's nothing that he can do now that will bring back the leg, even though I believe his friend forgave him. I really do. I believe there was a moment where he said, I forgive you for what happened. But he still has to live with the consequences. This man has no leg because of something that was set in motion. What's my point? That's true for all of us. We make decisions. We impact lives in such a way that sometimes we have to face the consequences 10, 15, 20, 30, and 40 years later in life. Look at verse 15. This is dramatic. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And notice verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. What were they responding to? God's intervention. You know, when God intervenes in your life in a positive way or negative way, both times, fear God. Acknowledge him. I really believe that this is a historical event. There's historicity to this story, meaning it really happened. You see, if it's just a nice story, it doesn't make any difference in my life. It's a nice story. Kids enjoy it. Make a movie about it. Make a cartoon about it. But if this story really happened, then it makes a difference because it means God intervenes. I want to show you the ultimate proof for the historicity of this story.
Well, we're out of time, but at the very beginning of tomorrow's program, we'll quote this passage of Scripture where Jesus speaks about Jonah and his historicity, his reality. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
You know why I believe that Jonah really happened is not because some professor at Harvard or Yale said it happened, or because a professor at Southern Baptist or Asbury College, Asbury Methodist University in Wilmore, Kentucky said it happened. That's not why I believe it. It's because of what Jesus said in Matthew 12. If we could bring that up, this passage from Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said this. Can we bring that up? For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man, Jesus talking about himself, will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. Who is Jesus talking about? Himself. People were asking him, will you do a sign? He said, I'll give you a sign. It comes from Jonah in the Old Testament. Just as Jonah was in the belly of this fish for 3 days and 3 nights, I'll be in the belly of the earth, talking about his death and burial in the tomb. And then, of course, the implication, the resurrection that came out of it. But what's my point? I believe the story of Jonah because Jesus did. And he claimed it to be true. He's the authority. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he really is the resurrection and the life, and he says, just as Jonah, same with me, I believe that to be true. I want to talk and leave you with this thought. I didn't do this at the other two services. I'm not even sure why. But Jesus talks about the people of Nineveh repenting. Jonah, we'll read later that the people repented and the city of Nineveh was spared. They were slated for destruction. You talk about urban renewal. God was going to wipe the town off the face of the earth. That's what it's implied. But they repented and God relented and spared the city. What could repentance do in your life today? May I tell you what repentance is not? Repentance isn't just being sorry. Repentance isn't sorry you got caught. Repentance isn't sorry that people found out about the deal. Repentance isn't saying, oh, I've got to live with the consequences of this and I'm mad. Repentance means to turn. It means to change your heart and to change your mind. It's when a man or woman realizes that all sin ultimately is a sin against the Lord. And repentance says, I have sinned against God. When David committed the sin of murder and adultery, he ultimately recognized that his sin was against the Father. Sure, he sinned against Bathsheba, the woman he had an affair with. Sure, he sinned against her husband. He had him killed. But he recognized ultimately, I have sinned against the Father. That's why in Psalm 51, David, reflecting on his sin, would say to God, against you and you only have I sinned in your sight. Against you and you only, he recognized that ultimately sin was against the Father. It was a wound against the Father. That was a Kodak moment in the life of David. It can be a Kodak moment in your life, a spiritual moment, as you recognize that repentance isn't being sorry, it's being changed by the power of God, changing your heart, changing your mind, and changing your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through Jonah today. There are people here today, just as we're in the other two services, that need the message. I need the message of Jonah. We all do. We all need to know that you intervene in life. We all need to know that there are consequences to what we do and that there are consequences to consequences. But the most important lesson, Lord, I want people to go home with today is that sometimes what we call punishment really is your hand of protection, your hand of compassion and blessing and provision. Help us to look at life with a new set of eyes today because we're looking at Jonah with a new set of eyes through Christ.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.